We are going to be looking at Psalm 23 this evening. If you want to turn your Bibles there, it is on page 458. Psalm 23, I would imagine, is very familiar, probably to everybody here. So, but it is good news for us today. Psalm 23 says this. It is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we pray that these words of your word would be true to us today. We thank you for the opportunity to hear them and to understand them better. We pray that you would give us hope as we look forward to times of uncertainty in our world. We pray that this would be an encouragement and it would also lead us toward following you in deeper ways. I pray these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. I want you to imagine an important place. Maybe it's a business like Google or a high-powered office or a government building. And imagine someone walking in wearing tattered clothes, looking like they had barely slept the night before. You kind of know what I mean. Maybe the new dad look of barely having one eye open, just looking really, really exhausted. And kind of smelling like they were outside all night. You might have the image of someone who is homeless or someone who we might consider to be a bum. And this is really the picture that I want to give you of a shepherd. A shepherd in our world right now, as well as in ancient Egypt, in ancient Israel, would have not been, it's not a picture of someone that has their hair styled or that is wearing clean clothes most of the time or has a smile on their face. They're probably worn out. Shepherds would have slept on the side of hills with their sheep all night, would have dealt with their sheep who are not smart animals, would have been around them all the time, would have been dealing with all the things that come with shepherding. And so it's an interesting thing that God actually puts in front of us this picture of a shepherd and of the Lord being a shepherd. Through the Holy Spirit, he enables David to write these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's interesting because David is putting himself in the position of a sheep. And if you remember, David was a shepherd himself as a young child. And he is putting God in the position of being the shepherd. But even more so than he, as a young child, shepherding sheep, he knows the vast multitude of people who are his people that need to be shepherded. So he understands what this God is like, that he loves deeply, and that he works really hard to be with his people. The Psalms, to remind you, are a songbook for the people of God. This would have been sung with all of God's people present. It's a praise to him together as God's people. Even though it's written by David from an individual point of view, essentially, where he's saying, "Lord, you are my shepherd," we are all singing it together, that God is our shepherd. The images of this underappreciated and semi-outcasted shepherd would have been immediate to God's people and should be immediate to us. So how does God exhibit the quality of a man who spends a lot of time with dumb sheep and has a job that is not that isn't amazing, that isn't high yielding, that isn't something that people would look upon and say, wow, there's a shepherd. This is a great job. God is our shepherd, as it says in Psalm 136, because he knit you in your mother's womb. He knows you intimately. He knew you before you even breathed a breath, before you were even known by your mother. He knew you. God is your shepherd because he loves you in the deepest ways possible. So we're going to look at two ways of how God shows his love for us. The first is that he lives with us. And the second is that he prepares a place for us. So first, God lives with us. And we're going to just kind of walk through this passage. So the first verse again says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Essentially, I don't have needs. I don't need, because I know that he will take care of me. And it reveals the commitment that our God has for us, that he loves us so deeply and so dearly that he is going to take care of us and every single need that we have. Verse 2 continues saying this: he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I think we can skip through this very easily because we know this passage. But he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He actually gives us rest. He allows us to lay down and to be still and to have times of rest. Maybe you're an ambitious person who needs to hear this because you feel like you need to be going all the time. Or maybe you're a person who is really depressed and you need to hear this, that God can give you rest. Or you're a frequent failure. You need to hear this. God provides, and he does so spiritually by giving us himself. He gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us beside still waters, to actually guide us in this process of being with us. Verse 3 says this. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is speaking specifically to the soul cleansing that he does. We talked about this morning if you weren't here, but God actually replaces our hearts. He takes out the heart of stone. You may not have even known. You may not have a recollection of the day where you believed in Jesus for the first time. But you once were an enemy of God. You once were far off. And if you are his, then he takes out a heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh so that he can do the deep work that is necessary for any kind of transformation to happen. And he does this to restore our soul. We can't do anything to fix our souls. God alone has to do that. He again, leads us as a shepherd in the paths of righteousness. And he does it for his own name's sake, so that he may receive the glory. Friends, this is good news. We live in a sinful world, and we can easily get entrapped by the sinful things happening in our world, and even in our body and in our minds. God is saying, I have control of this. And then in verse 4, it's a very well-known passage. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, tons of non-Christians know this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is a lot of times where we stop. Because, and really in our American culture, we become individualistic. We think, even though we walk in challenging times, we won't fear anything. But why? Why don't we fear anything? And it's precisely what we're talking about in these first three verses, is because God is with us. He is the shepherd. He does not depart from us. Even though we might not be aware of him being present, he is with us and allows us to go into dark and frustrating and suffering places so that we may not fear evil, because we know that he is more powerful. And then this is really important. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is essentially saying that there is both discipline that is necessary, a rod, in order to live rightly as God's sheep. We need to be disciplined by him. His word is not always going to be the best thing in our minds. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. It's going to have to lead us to repentance. And so we are disciplined by God's word and through his people. And then his staff is there to guide us. His staff is there to make sure that we are on the right path. And then these two things, as the shepherd's rod and as their staff, are there to comfort us, to give us comfort that we are with our God, that he is with us. God with us reminds us of the word Emmanuel, which is repeated many times in the Old Testament, but it shows up in Matthew 1, and it also shows up as God is sending his people out. He's saying, go therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For I am with you always, to the end of the age. Jesus left the earth. He provided the Holy Spirit for us, and he is with us until he comes back. That is such good news for us. I love the words from this newest song. There is a set of hymns that a group called the Porter's House has put together. And one of the songs is called In Times of Trouble. And I just want to read it off to you what these words say. It says, I was like a shipwreck out in the sea. Storm clouds, rain pound, and left alone in the deep. Winds were blowing right through me, no help to be found. Lost my sense of direction, waters taken me down. Then God lifted up his hand. He delivered me again. When all my hope was gone, he turned my fear into a song, singing, God is my help in times of trouble. It repeats, God is my help in times of trouble. This is actually a lament song, because a lot of times we recognize while we're suffering, while we're struggling, while things are not the way that they're supposed to be, we have to remember that God is our help in times of trouble. That God is with us even when there are persistent times of trouble, even when there are acute, when there is one time of trouble, to remember that he is with us, that he is like our shepherd, and we can frequently be like sheep who go astray, sheep who forget who our God is. And I realize these things might be really simple, but it's so necessary to be reminded of the simple beauty of God. So many people in our culture have this image of God as being hostile. I was speaking with one student who is trying to get her friend to be part of our ministry at UTSA. And this friend has such a negative view of God, like he is up in the sky and that he is just shouting at the students. Has no idea of who the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is. That he is a gracious God. That he is a shepherd who, yes, desires repentance, but also desires for this person's life to be guided along the path of righteousness. Friends, I want you to know that this is the picture of God. Jesus even says so himself in Matthew 11, 29. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. These are the words of the Good Shepherd. Jesus is with his sheep. He actually stoops himself down to us, his sheep, and is gentle with us. is less harsh, is less disciplinary than he could be. And he lowers his heart so that we can experience it. God is not some monster ready to take us out. He is gentle, kind, lowly. He loves us like sheep. In our daily lives, we need to be reminded of this and reminded of how good our Lord is and how the Spirit interacts with us. Secondly, he prepares a place for us. Verses 5 through 6 give us this picture that God is with us, but then he also prepares a place for us. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We looked at God being with us and that he also prepares a place for us. We get this sense that there are actually two persons, at least, of the Trinity. And because of what we believe in about God, we know that there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And once Christ died for our sins, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and to continue to walk with us and to make his home inside of our hearts. But we must also remember that Jesus is preparing a place for us. He has gone to do this work that we see in verses 5 and 6. We see the picture of God being hospitable and pre-planning this place for us to be with him forever. God blesses, God sets a table in front of his enemies. He anoints the head. He blesses us with oil. And David says, "My cup overflows." The blessing that is present in that, in those words, really reflects it. And then it's almost as David takes a step back and he considers all of this, of who God is as a shepherd, of the fact that he is going ahead to prepare a place. And he exclaims, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Knowing that God is with me as a shepherd, knowing that he will guide me, knowing that there is a place set that is ahead for me, goodness and mercy shall follow me. As an external way of experiencing the love of God, as well as an internal recognition of who God is, that he will be good to me, that he will be merciful to me as I sin, as I struggle, as the world comes down on me at times. That is how deeply God loves me. And then he says this at the end, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We see this amazing hope that we will be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And there will be no end to the goodness of being with the Lord. What else really do we need as God's people to have this picture of who God is presently, to even have this projection of who he is in the future and of how we will dwell with him? This is such good news to know that God is not silent. He is not distant from us, that he is present and that he is presently actually awaiting for us to join him. That God is busy making sure that we are with him as his sheep, that he desires to be with us, to guide us, to lead us to repentance. It actually shows us that God cares for us and that he works hard for us. If you're a father or a mother, you know how tiring it is to have children. That's essentially the picture for millions that God has, that he has called to himself. He is working tirelessly for us. And God does not tire. He desires for us to be with him. I want you to have that picture of the shepherd, of the good shepherd, as we move into the next several days and really the next week. That is who our Lord is. That he loves us in particular ways too. No sheep is the same. If you've ever seen a group of sheep, Some have different blemishes than others. Some walk straight, some walk really crooked. Every sheep is unique. And God as a shepherd actually cares uniquely for us. God also desires all of us to walk according to his way, even if we may struggle and stumble. And so just be reminded of that, of who you are as God's sheep, of who God is as a shepherd, particularly caring for you, and what it will be like to dwell in his house forever and not have to worry about the blemishes that we have and not have to worry about the suffering or the struggle that you currently experience, or friends that you know, or all the things that we prayed for, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and be content in those things. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we pray that you would remind us of how good you are as our good shepherd. We thank you for being the God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. We pray that we would be reminded of how you're at work in us even now, and pray that you would teach us and you would draw us to yourself. If there are those who do not know you today, I pray that they would come to you as the good shepherd, that they would repent of their sins, recognize that you are the only hope for their life, and give them peace. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.